I want to share, we had a meeting in Dallas here last night at the Upper Room. It was the 40th anniversary of the Dallas Prayer Ministry, or what is it called? Dallas Prayer Ministry. Anyway, Bill Bright and his wife Annette, 40 years ago, thought that God was going to do a work that would begin here in Dallas. And so last night was the 40th, which is a very important number, actually. That's the time of testing. God tests his people. Jesus, you know, fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Moses, all that stuff. Anyway, so it's kind of like Dallas has finished its test. And now you're ready to be sacrificed. I mean, it's great. It's exciting. Now, it means that the revival for America and for the world will start here. You probably remember that I said that at the beginning of the year, that God showed me that 2012 would be when it would begin and it would change the whole world. And so everything that was said by the woman from Scotland and another pastor from Australia was confirmation of all that we've heard from God. Pretty exciting. Israel being part of that whole mission and vision and so on. So I'm excited about that, because when God tells you something, you're often reluctant to share it because it might not look like what he said. And he has embarrassed me many times. No. I have missed him many times. God's good. All right. So we are beginning the end time. A lot of people are worried about the election and, you know, how communism is going to take over and so on. It's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Obama is not the Antichrist. And so, but he may be close to him.
Yeah.
He may be close to him. But nevertheless, all of that's good for us, because God isn't after politics. He's not after, you know, the powers of this world. He's not rebuking the world. He's not going to do that. He has to start where he always has to start, in his bride, in his girl. And so he's not even mad at the false church or the only go so far church or whatever. That is not bothering him. He's not mad at Israel for failing. We're the key, the secret. You are the light, you are the salt. And the bushel, you know, it says, if you have a light, don't put it under a bushel. That's Christians who are born again, who have put a bushel over all of us, so that the world looks at us as they look at them to say, look what hypocrites Christians are. Look how, you know, they're not red hot for the Lord. They're just kind of half in the world, half in the church, and so on. They're neither hot nor cold, you know, lukewarm. Anyway, don't be mad at those people, because God still is going to redeem them, as he's going to redeem and restore Israel, as he is going to then finish his work among the Gentiles. The time of the Gentiles will come to an end. So we're the hope, not we personally, because you don't do anything. This is all God. This is all God. You just enter into what he's doing. And so he wants the light to be outside the bushel, and outside of Israel under the law, and outside the world under Baal, you know, false, stupid, and so on. So we're not surprised that the modern world, filled with Islam, filled with, you know, UN agendas, and filled with, you know, communists still trying to make a comeback, and so on and so forth. Don't worry about all those people. God is not going to stop them. He's only going to purify us so that we can be a light set on a stand. Don't put it under a bushel. Lift it up, so that they can see, people that are completely separated unto him, what that would look like. Because the whole next 1,000 years, the millennium, will be just us ruling. And we have a little bit of preparation to make. We have a little bit of preparation. So the tribulation, the time, which I said it's not now, but the tribulation that's coming, we are in that moment, And that's why we're reading the scripture. Everyone else is looking at the newspaper. I don't care what the newspaper says. I know exactly what's going to happen. I know exactly what time it is. I know where we came from, where we're going. And I'm a servant of the living God. And I was, that's who I am. Forget my walk. I mean, it's not bad, but I'm not looking at it. I don't care about my walk. I only care about my heart. And my heart is full of faith in God to do it, to do everything. I'm not doing anything. Remember, he said, come unto me, all you that labor, communist labor, Al-Qaeda laborers, everybody's laboring out there, and it's all going to be for nothing. Unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. None of that will ever go anywhere. Even when the Antichrist gets up and has this little deal going, it'll only last 3.5 years. How many know you can store enough beans and bullets and Bibles to last 3.5 years? So you don't have to worry about that. That was a joke. It's not. You don't need to prepare like that. You need to prepare spiritually, not, you know, physically worry about horrible things and so on and so forth. Of course, the world's full of trouble, the world's full of difficulty. But you are the light. You're the salt. You're the encourager. You don't want to run away to the country when you're the light. We're taking our light and leaving. That would show you're not the light. Because you're not the light for the church. You're the light for the world. God, deliver us from the wicked. No. You know, the Vikings are coming, that kind of thing, you know. No. Just stay here. Stay where you are. Suffer with them, for them. And show them how to rejoice in difficult times. Now, if you can make it through the next, you know, 4 years, you'll do pretty well in the tribulation time. Do you all understand what I'm saying? If you can't rejoice now, you're not of him. This is the time to rejoice. Under the worst of circumstances, we still rejoice. We still have hope. Why? Because it's not up to us. It's up to God. Either he's a liar or he told the truth. I think he's a truth teller. So if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. It would be good to prove that, because the world would like to see that there are some real light Christians that are salt and light who actually have hope in dark times. You know, why all these groups do what they do is to actually put out the light. Not because it's light. They want to put it out because they don't want to give false hope to the world. And we're the hope. I mean, Jesus is the hope, so we're telling about him. And having people laugh and, you know, have a future and hope and rejoice now. The rest of the world doesn't want... Don't tell them that. Don't preach in the name of Jesus. Don't say something good's going to happen. God's mean. And they want to put weights on you. They want to force you to do what they think is right. Not what you think is right, because you're ignorant. And so they look down on you and despise you. I hope you understand how communism or socialism or Fabian socialism works, or Al-Qaeda or anything else. They all want to force. They want to force what's good. We're doing this for your own good. Well, I don't want anyone to do it for my own good. I'd rather just fumble around and let Jesus take care of it. Amen? I'm having more fun goofing up, and then let Jesus fix it. Jesus, I got another mess for you. Thanks. I'm going to bed. And Jesus cleans up your mess all the time. He's not only a redeemer, but he's a restorer. He can take all of your dung and turn it into compost. And notice, he nothing is wasted with him. Even your sins, he can utilize them. You see what I'm saying? I mean, the sins are sins. They're bad. But then we share that with the whole world. How many know that Christians still sin? I'm not advocating it. I'm just simply saying you'll do it. You're going to do it anyway. You're going to be selfish at times. You're going to get angry at times. You're going to be fearful at times and so on. So don't fix up your walk. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's already covered you. You're fixed forever. As long as you don't think you got a role to play down here where you're going to do something, let him do it. So everything you do, every act you make is not based on your willpower. It's based on your faith. That's higher. Willpower does not build the kingdom of God. The New Testament calls that will religion, where man, God did his part, he saved us, and now it's our part to finish it off or fix it. You know, you're not the finisher, the Holy Spirit is. Jesus, you know, whatever the Father started, Jesus kept going by redemption, and now the Holy Spirit will finish it. He's in you to will. So you're not in you to will. It's not even your old will or your new will. Even your new will is just to simply trust Him. And the only thing that really, the only thing you can do is nothing. And that's called thanksgiving, because you did everything, praise, because of who you are, and adoration, because whom have I in heaven but thee? And whom on earth do I love beside thee? So you're nothing, God's everything, but He happens to like you. That's the big deal, is He not only, you know that someday the Father's going to sit in this chair, the Son's going to sit in this chair, maybe I've got them backwards, whatever, and then you're going to sit in this chair. You're never going to sit in this chair or this chair. You're not the Father, you're not the Son. But you are the bride of, you're the wife of this one right here, who is the, this is the, you know, the dad that set this whole thing up. And so this is your place forever and ever and ever. What more do you want? You're sitting at the right hand of God. You know, you're sitting next to your husband, and the Father tells the Son what to say, and the Son tells you what to say. So it's real easy to rule. You just never have to do any thought. I love Christianity for one reason only. I don't have to think anymore. And all of my, I don't take myself seriously like when I was younger and I had to conquer the world, or at least defend myself from going under, try to keep above, you know, the water. And I had a lot of confidence, and Jesus just wiped all that out. And that was the best thing ever happened to me. I hated Him, for I wanted to kill Him. If I could have found Him, I'll kill you. But He's kind of invisible, so He's hard to kill. Ghosts, ghosty type people. So, but it turned out to be the best thing ever. That was the best thing that ever happened to me. I fell in love with Jesus, and all of a sudden everything else changed. So He didn't change the world, He changed me. He starts with you. Does that all make sense? All right, now let's read Isaiah, Isayahu, and see how God is preparing us, and how I wish someday I could teach you everything that's happened from the foundation of the world, just off my head. I mean, just, I know it. I wish I could just kind of lay it out, 20, 30 different moments, how God did this, 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 and so on, and how it all came up to today. Because it's kind of like a gradual unfolding of His love, but He never changed. You know, He didn't change. It's just our understanding of Him has altered and changed. You know, in the beginning, anyway, it doesn't matter. I'd love to do that, but forget all that. Today we're at the very end of all of His historical working stuff, and we're about to go into tribulation, but not yet. You're about to go into tribulation, and you want to have a good time. I know a lot of people teach wrongly that you're going to rapture out before the tribulation. They call that pre-trib. So that's the pre-trib. Don't worry, when the bad times come, you'll get out. Oh, what are these times? I don't think we raptured out yet. Oh, maybe you're going to go December 31. Okay, that's great. And if you go, I'm not going. I want to stay here for the main event. This is our main event. This is the time of Israel's trouble, you know, Jacob's trouble, the purifying of the sons of Levi, the end of the Gentiles, and so on. The two witnesses standing up and blah, 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 all during the tribulation. So believers are not gone. Anyway, there's big Dallas teaching, by the way. Huge Dallas teaching. And it's okay. I'm not arguing with it. I don't care about it. That's fine. If you think the elevator's coming and you press the button to get up, you know, up, 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 and then, you know, I'll still be here. When you're done pushing, come on over here. Because a lot of people are going to be a little bit surprised when Jesus doesn't come down the elevator and pick you up. What if I'm wrong? Well, then I'll be on the elevator. So I'm not worried about it. The best preparation is not to find out where the elevator is. The best one is just to make sure you're His. You belong to Him. Are you in love? And He's looking for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. You know, He's looking for all those fruits to come forth so that the world can know, yeah, He's a believer. And then they'll persecute you. They won't persecute you if they don't see the love, joy, peace, and so on. They only persecute you because you're happy. Because you're a lover. Because you don't quit, you don't stop, you don't give up. You're not saying, let's not be merciful to wicked people. How many know that God likes wicked people? God loves wicked people. How'd you get here? You wouldn't even be here if he didn't. So I don't believe religion, Muslim religion is like this, Catholic religion is like this, Jewish religion is like this. They all are, because they're all based on how great I am. Something that, you know, you did, you got right with God, and they couldn't. No. Our whole thing is to be a light to this world. It's to give hope to the world. That's why they want to stop Christianity. I tell you, they only have one goal. I'm never fooled about where, you know, Kant and Fichte and Hegel and all those jerks are, and they're jerks because they lied. They're deceivers. Because they don't want Christianity. What they all did was attack Christianity. And they're not after the Jews even. They're not even after the Jews. They're really after us. It's the Christian thing that's more hopeful. After all, the Jews are into work hard and labor and so on. Behave yourself. We're not. We're into, even if you misbehave, God still loves you. See, that is too good. Nobody wants that that gospel to go forth. That is too good. Is, hey, you could rejoice today. In the midst of your trials and troubles, God is still with you. I mean, that when you suffer, God's right there. God's right there. When you suffer, you draw close to him. You won't even notice it. When I fell off the roof, I wasn't even aware of it. I never knew. And I believe the only reason I'm alive today is to finish what, you know, God showed me years and years and years ago. You're going to, you know, be ready for that. And I've only prepared, I have never prepared for having a church. I've only prepared for that future moment. And so, you know, to me it's anticlimactic when it happens. It's like, well, you know, that's what we were looking for anyway. But all of a sudden, when you see the body of Christ come together worldwide, all over the world, and you'll know, there'll be no black and white and rich and poor and fat and skinny, dumb and smart and all that. You won't see any of that stuff. You're just going to see everybody believes in Jesus. Amen. It's the kind of meeting it was last night. Amen. It was. And it'll even get more so. Amen. And I'm convinced I play a role. I'm also convinced I'm not the lead person at all, but I'm going to be in the middle of it. And I don't even know how I got on the host committee, but I did. And I'm keeping that, too. Because I never prayed for 40 years like they did. Janie McKay and all those people, they've been around doing it for 40 years. And it's kind of like, I ain't doing that. I'm not going to do that. I want to do what I'm going to do because God gave me a different assignment. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? It's not that that's wrong. It's just you have to do what God told you to do. If you're in business, do business. If you're a housewife, do housewifing, you know, whatever that is. You know, whatever God gives you to do, you've got to do it. Amen? He doesn't want everybody doing the same thing. He's got different talents and treasures and positions and so on and so forth. Hey, just go wherever he sends you. Amen? I mean, no, he saved the best to the last. The best wine is going to be, you know how you make wine, you have to squeeze the grapes and break them until they don't have any self left. Ow! I don't like her next to me. Ow! She's breaking my skin. I mean, you know that people can irritate you. That's how God builds his saints. Until you don't get irritated. After a while, you'll all flow together nicely. You won't worry about it. And all your juice goes to the world anyway. It doesn't even go to us. We've already got everything. We got Jesus. So let him arrange how we all flow together. So I don't care. I've told you, I believe a black man will be raised, maybe out of Africa. No, I don't care where they're raised, but some black leader somewhere is going to be raised to be a Nimrod in these last days. In other words, a black spokesman who will actually speak because the Jewish people had the gospel for 2,000 years. Us white, Caucasian, whatever we are, people, Japhethites, we've had it for 2,000 years since Jesus till today. Now it's their turn. And they only get it for a few hours, but that's okay. How many know that's fair? You know why? Do you know why? Because the faith came from the Jewish people. We're still into Abraham. If Japheth, that was us, would get under Shem, if he'd get under Shem's God, if he'd get that religion and not our Zeus stuff and all that, you get under the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if they'll do that, then Ham will be the servant. Well, Ham, the word for servant, is not slave. It's just Ebed. An Ebed is someone who is a trustee. In other words, the doer of whatever the master wants. So he said, if we, who once ruled the world, apparently we still do, but it's fast fading, but we are to serve under Abraham. I mean, I know that's a good thing, because we didn't have any gods. We had, you know, Aphrodite and Mercury and all those kind of nonsense type gods, and they were just head concepts. They were just, you know, trying to make money type gods, and it's worked good for us. We've made a ton of money and, you know, conquered the world and all that. Well, now your time is up. So your time is over. So sorry. Now God is going to raise up out of the third world, the undeveloped world, the ignorant people that don't know anything. You'll be surprised what they will do. And he'll raise up somebody who will bring the whole world back toward Jesus. And I believe that God is going to raise up a black man whom, you don't know this, but most black ministers in Africa speak 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 languages. I mean, they speak European languages, they speak their own languages, all the dialects around them. They're highly educated. And many of them went to Lumumba University in Russia or something, or they did it here, and they're all over the place. God has raised them up and saved them till the last. And I believe now, don't be embarrassed by it. It's a good thing. Because they have a different take on life than we do. Now, Obama is not a good example of what I'm talking about. I'm not picking on him. I'm just saying, you know, he's a Chicago mafia guy like my background. And, you know, I understand that guy inside and out. He's exactly like me. In the end, he's not an ideologue at all. He's just using it for his own purposes. He is a pragmatist. In other words, he's an opportunist. In other words, he's like me. And I love it because he's easy to read. And so he'll do whatever he has to do to win, prevail. To win. If you have to raise the dead to win. How many know that a lot of Democrats are dead? That's okay. You get millions of them. You know, that'll turn the tide. So don't worry about all that stuff. Our thing is not to try to fix it next time so that we get blah, 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 blah. The thing is, it's the church. It's the church that God's after. We're the light, we're the salt, and you are the light. Say it. I am the light.
I am the light.
I am the salt. Okay, the word for salt is moron. You're a moron. Okay. So, moron in the Greek means, well, it's not exactly true, but it actually means the ability to tell the truth in such a way that the world, this is what salt does, the ability to tell the truth in such a way that the world sees its absurdity, its foolishness, its folly, and also, it's wickedness. In other words, they're convicted. That can't happen, because if you tell the truth, that won't do that. The truth sets free, but only if you tell the truth in love. So, the salt has to go with the light, phos. The light in Greek means that that light shouldn't be under a bushel. Imagine you got born again and were filled with the light of Jesus, and then you hid yourself under a bushel. And you had light for everybody in your church. We are great. We are awesome. You know, so that'd be great. I think church people think that way. But really, you're really to be a servant for the rest of the world. So get up on a lampstand so the whole world can see you. I don't think anyone's looking at the church today. No one's expecting anything out of the church. You all understand that. We are not the most impressive, right? Well, that's only because he hasn't divided the church from the church. Those that are, you know, lukewarm and those that are hot, red hot, passionate, going all the way. How many know that it's no fun to be one of those? You wouldn't like it because people hate those kind of people. Huh, you think you're better than us? They hate you. They despise you. They're also jealous of you. If they see that God has done something, they hate it that you're happy. You get on an elevator and just smile. I tell you, people will hate you. But if you get on and look miserable, that's you're okay, you know, because that's the way they all feel. And they hate it. You go up to the drinking fountain. Hey, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, you got a headache? You're all set. They hate that. How many know that they hate that? You meet a Jewish person and you have an Old Testament scripture for them. They hate that. But anyway, so we irritate people. It's not a big deal. I'm an irritator, and I don't care. I don't care if you like it or not, because I'm dead to this world, and I don't care what people think. And besides, have you ever tried to please people? It doesn't even work. So I'm not doing it, because you can work real hard with people, and they're the one that'll hate you. Are you aware of that? If you show inordinate affection and love towards someone, you'll end up hurt and disappointed. They're not going to thank you. People are not nice. Even church people crucify you. Anyway, my point is, we have the good news, but you have to look like it so that the world and the Jewish, you know, religion thing and the lukewarm Christians need hope. And we're the only hope they have. It's kind of like, if you guys can make it, anybody can make it. I mean, you know that would be encouraging to the world if we actually make it. Because we're such idiots that they think, you know, you're not going to make it because we're gonna put you out of business. I had somebody say that to me once here in Dallas, a close friend now. But I remember I was sitting in the, what's that big hotel that's kind of curvy downtown? Crescent, yeah. I was sitting there on the third or fourth floor or whatever you eat. And he said, I'm going to give you a big church here in Dallas. I said, well, I don't want it. He said, no. We're going to arrange it because you're a good preacher and we need a good preacher like you. And so we're just going to give you a church. And I said, I don't want that. I want what Jesus gives me, but not what you give me, because you want to be on the board, right? Well, yeah. I mean, if we give you that, we'd have to, control the thing. I said, I don't like control. So I don't want it. He said, then I'll destroy you. So I started laughing. I said, cool, do it. And he named some people that he had destroyed. You know, where is so-and-so and so-and-so? I don't know. I'm not so-and-so and so-and-so. I'm God's beloved. So the problem is, you'll go down before I will. So you can go at it. And if God doesn't like me, I'm finished. But it's no big deal. But I don't fear what you're talking about. So, sorry. Go for it. So today's my friend. If I told you who it was, you all know him. God has his own ways and means committee, and he has a sense of humor, obviously. Are you all aware of that? If he would pick you, he has to have a sense of humor. If he would say, here's my salt and here's my light, he has that sense of humor. But he does, because he doesn't have that many customers anyway. So he has to use the few he has, you know, get a lot done. Amen? Y'all said. Y'all dedicated to him? Did you know that the prayer of one man has great power in its effects? One. I mean, a whole nation could be turned around because of one. And in fact, I could show you the history of the world is a history of just exactly that kind of thing. So there never has been a whole city that has been given over to God. I don't know if you're aware of that. There's never been a major city like Dallas or some New York or something given over to Jesus Christ. Well, if God is the ruler of the world, it might be interesting if he had more than just some churches sprinkled about in that city. I think it's going to happen. I know George Otis goes around the world looking for those kind of places. But I think it's going to happen here, that the city itself will turn to the Lord. And I don't mean they'll all serve communion. I'm just saying they'll fear God. That's all I'm talking about, is they will be one state and one city under God. And just do the things that God wants rather than the homosexual agenda or the, you know, the Planned Parenthood thing or all that other nonsense. So I don't know if you picked it up, but I'm against that. So I'm not for that, because there's no hope in it. It'd be different if you could actually pull it off and it'd be hopeful. I don't believe in it. I don't believe liberalism ever works. I mean, I went to the most liberal school you can go to, and it doesn't work. I was a total pagan, so I was totally open to it. I wanted to be liberal and, you know, at the head of the class and all that stuff. But I found out when I got to it, it was a bunch of baloney. I mean, it's only if you get to the top of the mountain that you find out. And I was la creme de la creme. And you know, I was going somewhere because I learned all this junk and had all that you have to get ahead. And when I got there, I realized that's just baloney. And so then I went against the grain man, did they throw a hissy. They hated that. There's nothing they could do about it. I was still an A++ type student. So it was very hard to, you know, they trained me and then I did the training. And then, you know, it was very hard for them to say, you know, well, what are we going to do now? This guy's disturbing everybody. And I loved to disturb. I did. I enjoyed it. I was an agitator or whatever it was, because I'd just go up to a professor and say, you know, tell me about your prayer life. And of course, that you don't ask that of liberals, but I did it deliberately to embarrass them. And then whatever that person would say, I'd take it to the next professor and I'd say the same thing. And then I'd say, well, Professor so-and-so thinks this. And then whatever he'd tell me would knock him down. Then I'd go and I'd tell that professor, by the way, Professor so-and-so says you're like this. You don't know what you're talking about. And so I had them all hating each other. It was great. It was awesome. Can you see how that was before I was saved. But God realized he had to save me because I was having too much fun doing all that. All right. Now, Isaiah 44. This is, we jumped over 43. No problem. And I'm not going to start at verse 1. I'm going to start at 21. Remember these, O Jacob. This is God talking against idolatry, and now he's turning to Jacob, Israel. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel. It's the same. Jacob is Israel. For thou art my servant. So he's acting as though Jacob was dead now. He's acting as though he's still alive through all his children. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Now, in the Hebrew, that word for formed is the same as when God made the world. You know, he formed it. Bara. Bereshit bara Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Et hashamayim v'et ha'aretz. Right, this word is asat. Okay? Asa, asat. This word says, I fashioned you, or I formed you out of the basic elements. In other words, you know, he has all the basic elements, right? Are you all familiar with the chemistry of this world? So first he had all these elements that he created. And then he didn't create everything. He fashioned it out of those basic elements, like water, H2O, took some hydrogen, so on. So God then said, I formed you, Jacob. In other words, I took you out of all the nations of the world. Abraham was a wanderer. And formed you into a people and a nation. Under Moses then, they finally got in. And now we're already into the prophets, you know, hundreds of years later. I formed you, I fashioned you, I arranged you, I gave you order. So when God made you naturally, every one of us was formed according to a pattern. And Jesus, by the way, is the pattern. And if you get off the pattern, it doesn't work. And if you get under the pattern or in line with the pattern, it works. So anything that you build will be in vain. They that labor, labor in vain. Stay in God's order. Why? Because there's only one order. The whole world, it doesn't matter what you think about politics, it's ordered. It doesn't matter what you think about economics, it's ordered. Everything God ordered according to a certain logic or scheme or fashion. And you've been made that way. So here's what he did. He said, I created the heavens and the earth. I stretched the heavens out. Then I set forth the earth, arranged it, and ordered it, everything, trees and bushes and peoples and so on. But I also made every man, but I also made just one man, Jacob, you. Remember he called out Abraham? Alone, individual. And then he gave him some sons, and then they had sons. And so here's one of the sons. This is the grandson then of Abraham. And God made a new covenant with each of them. I would like to talk about that sometime, but he made a new covenant with each of them, emphasizing something a little different. And so through Jacob, you remember when Jacob died, he divided his hands like this over Joseph's two sons, Manasseh, the elder, this one, left hand, and then Ephraim, the younger. And he said, this one will be great, this one will be greater. There's where we are. Today, the whole world lieth in that order. Because he formed or fashioned Jacob, who handed on his blessing to all his seed. Now, one of those seed was capital S seed, Jesus, the Messiah. HaMashiach. So Jesus, the Messiah, came later, when everything fell apart. I mean, you know that God arranges your life so that it'll fall apart without him. And I don't mean financially and health-wise and so on. I just mean you'll come to a point where you realize, I need Jesus. I need to put him first. And that's going to happen here in Dallas. That many of the, you know, independent type people, I made myself and so on. No, you didn't. Actually, everything's a gift of God. So he'll shake things up a little bit and then rearrange it into his original order. And that's when the church prays. But first of all, we have to get in order. How many of you can't order somebody else if you aren't ordered yourself? You have to get in order so that you don't order your order, but you order his order, which means you're out of order right now. He wants to put you in order. So come out from the midst of her, my people, lest you partake of her sins and then therefore her plagues, which come from those sins. So come out from the midst of her. That's not the beast system. It's not the world. He's bringing you out of the Babylon whore Jewish system, which is works. You're not going to go to heaven by works. How many know you're not good enough? Your walk is never going to be perfect. Your heart can be perfect, but not your walk. The problem with Israel is they had all kinds of good works, but their heart wasn't in it. Therefore, God rejected all their good works and said, they're evil. He just simply said, no, they're evil. And so they killed him. They killed his boy. When Jesus came down and announced all that, just killed him. And had they read Moses, they wouldn't have done that. Did you know that if the Jewish people had actually listened to Moses, they would never have killed Jesus or crucified him? But God knew that, and so he used them. How many other God can use your sins even to get his purposes done? He can use your sins. How many know that we still sin? Some of us, you know, the people on this side. This, the right, okay. That, over there, that bad group there. Margaret, you're bad. I just like to point out a few people, so you know it's not a theory. No, God uses your sins. Don't worry about it. Don't ever worry about sin. Jesus took care of that on the cross. Don't think about it. I know this is bad teaching. I think it's perfect. Because I think what Christians do and why they never grow, why they're bushel basket type Christians, is because they're always hiding their light because they're always worried about themselves, trying to clean up themselves. Stop it. What a waste of time. Jesus died on the cross. It's over. Your sins have already been paid for. Now, the only way you grow is don't. Just keep looking at Jesus, who doesn't grow, and then you'll grow. How many know that we are changed from one degree of glory to another by beholding him? Just keep your eyes on him. Very passive. There's nothing active about that. It's no willpower thing. It's just simply, God, I surrender. I believe what you just said. So it's a wonderful life when you're not working. You know, I'm trying to arrange my financial life so that if something happens to me or whatever, everything is passive so that my wife won't have to worry about it. It'll just come in month by month and so on. She'll have plenty to live on because, you know, all of a sudden she won't have my, you know, income and so on and so forth. So that's active, from being active. So I want it to all be passive as much as possible. And there aren't a lot of tools out there right now in the economy, I'll just tell you right now, that produce monthly cash flows. There are a few. And then I've found some. But those, then, are good because they happen no matter what kind of thing. But, yeah, of course, you have to do certain things. But the truth is, that's better for her because then she doesn't have to worry about anything. I mean, if you leave a lot of stocks and bonds, they have to be sold in order to pay the rent or, you know, the phone bill or something. But this way, if you have your income making more, then you can live off of the interest or you can live off of the flow, or the extra, the net. All right. So God uses even your sins to accomplish his purposes. Remember these, O Jacob, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee, Atzah. Thou art my servant, Ebed, which means a trustee. A trustee is me, is you. Did you know you're a trustee? When you have the spiritual truth given to you, then you're responsible as a trustee to give it to somebody else. Let's say one of your relatives is having problems. Your answer is, hey, let's just turn that over to Jesus. Huh, that's very good. You're a good trustee. That's exactly what God wanted you to do, is just turn to God. Why? Because there's hope. I've never turned anybody away and said, no, you're hopeless. I would never say that. I don't believe that. I believe there's hope for me, there's hope for anybody. So I've never met anyone as hopeless and as nothing as me. And I just invented all that other stuff about me being awesome. And so I just invented that, just made that up to bluff my way through. How many know you can bluff your way through life? But then sooner or later, you got to pay. You got to be real. There's got to be something there. And I realized that when it comes to that, I don't have it. No matter how many degrees I get and how much, you know, favor and blah, 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 you still can only bluff so long. Then you get caught because you didn't do the real thing. And I hoped it wasn't Jesus, but it turned out to be Jesus. That was the one thing I was not going to go for. And it turned out that was the thing I was running from was the thing I should have run to. And the thing I was running to was the thing I should have run from. So I got turned upside down. Has anybody else had that experience? You know, it's like totally opposite of what I was thinking. So I was for happiness. Everybody's made that way. Did you know that everybody here wants security and happiness? Everybody wants to be safe and secure and, you know, not have to worry about food and insurance and all that stuff. You want to feel good and you want to be happy. You want to have a little bit of fun and joy, you know, at least watch TV or something. You want to have a life. All right. God created you for a much higher goal than just survival. And that how I grew up was just surviving, you know. And so I learned all kinds of, you know, I had no morals, none. I had no morals. So whatever it took to survive, that was what was right in my mind. That was wrong. Of course, that's just hedonism, mammonism, all that stuff. But and along the way, then I became an intellectual. And I thought, here's a shortcut. You know, I'll just get degree after degree. And you just white collar the thing. And you just get up and marry a few people, bury a few people. And, you know, they're happy with you. And so that was easy. So I just thought, hey, best job in the world is a minister. They don't do anything. They just do the Sunday morning thing for, what, 20 minutes or so of a message and do a little blah, blah, blah stuff. And people are happy with you. As long as you marry them and bury them and baptize their little kids, they're okay. So I knew I had it made. How many know that if I just shut my mouth, I'd be okay? But because that's all they really want. They don't care about your theology, what you preach and teach. How many know it doesn't go very far? Y'all understand that. So unless God takes these words and makes them alive in you, I didn't do it. Because I can preach these things forever and ever, and they won't produce any fruit unless you get a hold of it directly from God. You can't get it indirectly from me. And I'm not even pretending that. Never thought that. So he said here, O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I'll never forget you. I have blotted out as a thick cloud all your transgressions. Notice I don't look at your sins. And as a cloud, thy sins return to me, for I have redeemed you. In other words, I don't see them. He put them all on Jesus. I love that. Now, this he's telling to Israel when they're still under the law. And without law, there's no sin. Are you aware of that? God cannot, if he doesn't have a law, an order, an arrangement, something like a standard or a criterion against which to judge you, can't judge you. So every judge has to have a standard somewhere. They don't just make it up on the spot. Well, we have judges that do now. But the real judges actually judge according to truth or right or something good and so on. Now we're losing our way of life. No problem. Don't worry about it. God's truth is still there. It's written on everybody's heart, for one thing. But God's going to do it. Anyway, he said, all your sins, I've put them away. Sing, O you heavens, for the Lord hath done it. I noticed there's no role for you. The Lord hath done it. So what did you have to do with your redemption? As much as you did your creation. Zero. You had nothing to do with it. I just appeared, you know, and there I was. But I didn't have anything to do with it. In fact, for a whole year, I didn't even know who I was. I was just a stupid little kid. I didn't know anything. And I didn't contribute anything. But I did learn the English language within, you know, a year or so. That was pretty cool. That's very smart for a little kid, stupid. All of a sudden, he can speak Chinese or Japanese or French or whatever. I mean, you put him in any home, he will learn baba. You know, he'll learn something. And he's got to learn the right language and all the inflections. And then when they're two and they put their hands on their hips and they go, no, you know they have learned well. That is, that child knows exactly when to rebel and how to do it perfectly. I'm not going to do it. No, I don't want to. I love that. Don't you love that? Don't you think that's funny? I loved it when my kids did that. They just were defiant. No. You go to bed right now. No. And they stand as though they're going to have a fight with you. You know, I love it. Yes. They just go and hug them and say, you go to bed right now, I'll spank you. So then they go to bed. But, you know, you gotta threaten them with love, right? So my kids never rebelled because I never, you know, made them angry. You see, I spanked them. I didn't spank them. I spanked them to remember, don't do what I say not to do. Do what I say to do. So that's all. Just do what I say. I don't want you to be good. Just act good. Did y'all say that? I never told my kids, you are good kids. I never said that. They're not good kids. They're just, you know, little devils with, you know, will. But I just said, I, you know, God loves you. I love you. Mom loves you. And I'm going to spank you now. So they understood that spanking came from a loving father. Because the Bible says, the father that loves his son chastens him. You all see that? So I felt it was an act of love to curb them. Just as God had curbed me in my life. I was full of, you know, my own vinegar. And all of a sudden, God just chopped my knees off. You know, just right there. And he can do that when you're at your height. When you're on your high horse, he can just cause you to stumble. You get blinded by the light. And all of a sudden, you realize, I don't know anything. Have you ever come to that point in your life where you're going, I don't think I know anything. I don't know what I'm doing. I am weak. I am ignorant. And I'm not good. Has anybody ever come to any one of those or all three of them? It's so helpful. It's so helpful so that you, because you only learn in crisis. You don't learn in a non-crisis situation. You can tell people all day long, you know, they're a socialist in our government. It don't mean anything until Obama wins the second term. It's like, whoa, we got to look at that because now all of a sudden, you know, we're going to have all the things we didn't want. And he's got to live with them. And he's got the army behind it, and it's everything. So you're going to have to do it. Now, of course, Texas will secede, so we're okay. But that's not going to go anywhere. But anyway, it's kind of fun to see how people react only in crisis time. So good for me, because I'm a teacher in crisis time. I love crises. I love when people call me up, you know, our marriage is falling apart. This was 2 days ago. And, you know, they were bawling, and, you know, the husband was bawling, the wife was bawling, everybody was bawling. And awful, it was awful. I mean, when you heard the story, it's terrible. But within 20 minutes, they're laughing. Within 20 minutes, they're healed. Within 20 minutes, their marriage is fixed. Did y'all see that? Why? Because it's a crisis. I love crises. Because in a crisis, people are teachable. You will do this. Well, I don't think you will do it. Okay. See? Why? Because they're in a crisis. They don't have any options. All they can do is keep crying and divorce each other and, you know, destroy everything. So I got a solution. First, I always ask him, do you have a solution for this? I always ask the man, do you have a solution for this? You're the head. You're the leader. What do you have?
I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay. It looks like you don't have a solution. And so that's great. I love that. See, I love that because that's a real opening for me. Did you all see that? That was a setup. I was setting it up so that then I could say, I have the answer. You're not going to like it, but you're going to do it. And in a little while, they were thanking God for everything that had happened. And they were then, forgiving one another. And they spoke to each other and they spoke to the children. And it was awesome. It was fun. And they were weeping. I loved it. Because they were now weeping not for frustration and, you know, destruction. They were now weeping because they saw hope. And they realized we can make it and we're going to make it. And they are determined. I have no doubt in my mind that turned around. So God is after crises. That's what Jesus came for. It was a crisis. It was a problem. And everybody thought their problem was other people. you know, or something, circumstances. And Jesus said, no, your problem is your sins aren't forgiven. Yeah, that's baloney. That's not our problem. And he won. Because our problem was our sins need to be forgiven. Well, that's why he just said that. Oh, Jacob, don't worry about it. I've already forgiven your sins. This is long before Jesus. He'd already forgiven all their sins. The Aaron thing, the priest thing. Shout, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, you mountains. In other words, these are the big shots. Oh, forest, every tree therein. He's not talking about forests and trees. He's talking about people. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. So God has redeemed not every man, only Jacob. God did not redeem anybody else but Jacob. He was the only one out of the whole earth. And God, why can God do that? Because he formed the heavens and the earth. And then he formed Jacob. And so since he formed him, then he gave him a charge. He gave him a trust. He gave him a promise. I swear, you will do this and you will do that. And then he made it interesting because he said, if you keep the law, then good things will happen to you. But that was only one part of his promise. But he had another part. And if you don't, they didn't remember this one. And if you don't, I'll forgive you anyway. They didn't remember that part. So when they got in trouble, instead of turning to God, they turned to Assyria or Israel or some other power, self or whatever. It doesn't work. How many know you don't have any power? God has all power. And God's power is so big that your little power is nothing. It's nothing. He calls the nations just a drop in the bucket. Doop. And it's just one little drop and you're nothing. You don't have any power. He can dump the bucket anytime he wants to, or whatever he wants to do. So how many know that God will not be gainsaid? You can't argue with him. And he will not be thwarted. You can't destroy anything he wants to do. Sorry. That's why I'm so confident. Is everybody confident like I am? Because how can anything go wrong when you have a God that loves you? Unconditionally. And he can't lie. Once he says, I love you, he can't say the next day, oh, I didn't know you were going to do that. He can't do that. See, because he knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. So he knew what I would do the next day. So he can't ever change his mind. So once he says he's loved you, he's locked in. That guy is locked in because he can't lie. The minute he lies, then I'm God. He's not. You know, so he's not going to lie. Because he's the only one that doesn't lie. So if he says, I love you, he can never change his mind. And he doesn't mean by I love you this way and you this way and you this way. He means I love everybody equally. I want everyone blessed. You know, that's better than communism. That's better. I mean, you know, the communists are just trying to play God on earth. Stupid. I mean, it's not going to work. It never has worked, by the way. It's not only a theoretical stupid, it's also an actual stupid because it never works. Russia didn't work. Paris Commune didn't work. America, not going to work under Obama's, you know, community organizing. It's not going to work. It never has worked. Does Obama go down to the inner city in his nice car and then go back to his nice home after he helps all those poor people who stay poor after he went home and come back? You know, he didn't take them into his home. You poor people, come on, I have a big home. Come on in. He didn't do that. Why? Because he didn't care about them. They're just foolish to believe that someone's going to give him a free lunch somewhere. He just wants votes. Smart. He beat all the Republicans. That was very smart. Just go and offer as many people as much freebies as you possibly can, then they're dependent on you, and you're the God. That's why he always says, I have your back, or, you know, whatever he wants to say. It's all silly. I mean, why be afraid of it? It's just nonsense. Never worked. Never happened. The homosexual community is not going to thank him someday because he can't do anything. You can't do anything unless God has it in his little program. So God's already pre-programmed the earth, and that's the way it's going to be. So he's telling this Israel, Jacob, thus saith the Lord, verse 24, thy Redeemer, almost done, and he that formed thee. So not only is God the Redeemer just of Jacob, not anybody else, not the Hittites, not the Girgashites, nobody else. And he that formed thee from the womb. So he, remember Jacob and Esau, two nations wrestling in Rebekah's womb? And that's exactly where America is today. We are two nations. We are not one nation under God. No, no, no. We are one nation that's under God and another nation that's under something else. You know, we're not under God anymore. We are not a single nation. We are so divided that we didn't even do that well. And I don't care what your explanations are. It doesn't make any difference. The point is, that's the way it is right now. Why? Because it's the way it's always going to be. It's not going to get restored. Yes, Beth, they're going to restore America. Okay, go for it. Live in illusion land. You know what? It's not going to be restored. And even if it looked like it was, it would only be the prelude to the Antichrist persecution anyway. I'm just telling you right now, stop that. Get into the new reality. He's after his church. The new reality, he's after his church. His little agenda. How many know that God can upset the whole world's agenda and set up his little agenda? And it turns out to look really worthless. But in the end, he'll win. He always does. I'm sticking with him. I'm going to go with him no matter what. I don't care if I stand against the whole world. I'm going with him. I know he's going to win. I know my stock is in good shape. And I never have to worry. He's got me covered. I got a guarantee from the bank that said, I'll cover everything you do. Yeah, I'd rather have that than Obama's, you know, thing, or even the good faith of the United States. I don't want that. I want the Jesus one. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I like that. I have a lot of trust in that. That he'll never leave me and forsake me, even if I do wrong. He'll still stick with me. He'll turn my wrong into right. I love that guy. He can make the crooked straight, and he can make the darkness light, and he can do anything, and he happens to like me a lot. I mean, he does. He's just tickled with me. When I wake up every morning, he's like, Jim is up. Look, everybody. And Jesus has been singing all night in his little horse, and he's just excited that I'm up so that we can go and do things. How many have a view of God that is, if God be for you, who and what can be against you? Nothing. Nothing. Now, if you don't like that message, I don't blame you, because I wouldn't like it either if I were, you know, just a regular person. But I'll tell you, if you're desperate and you're in a crisis, it's a good message. Because I'll tell you, all of a sudden, we're running out of options. If you think that socialism or Fabian socialism, which means to infiltrate from the inside, actually what it means is use the church. Don't destroy the church as in regular communism. Regular communism is, you know, use bullets and guns and just destroy the church and the monarchy and so on. But Fabian is infiltrate and use the very structures of society that's the enemy against themselves and turn the church against the church. Brilliant. And they did that. They totally, years and years ago, decades and decades ago, they infiltrated the whole Roman Catholic Church. You don't know that, but I'm telling you. They totally took over all the top spots in the Anglican Church, in the Lutheran Church, in all the denominations. Took it over. 1930s. But even before that, that was just when it happened among the Protestants. I'm just telling you, they were able to do that, and nobody was the wiser. Nobody even understood. Adolf Hitler and Stalin and Mao and all these guys, they were all doing the same thing. Take away the individual. Take away all the rights. Take away all the liberties. Make sure you have no private property. They all wanted no life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness to happen. Our founders were weirdos who actually trusted the Judeo-Christian basis and set up a different kind of government and a different kind of life. And we had a couple hundred years, and that's about all you get. Now, it's over, but not for me. I'm going to still live in that one. Y'all see that? So I've made my decision, and I'll suffer over it. I don't care. I want to. I'm not afraid of it. I like crisis. I like duking it out. Why? I have a big God. Okay, big God, where are you? Get here. Get that guy. How many know that when David threw that rock at Goliath, when he tossed that rock, he could have just thrown it up over his head and God would have directed it right at the forehead of Goliath. I'm just telling you, you don't have to worry about it. When God is for you, he's for you. And he liked David. Now, I know David was good at the slingshot, but that's not why he hit him in the forehead, and the guy was stunned, because that's all it did. It just stunned him. I can't believe that little kid did that, you know, and that kind of thing. Because remember, he was pretty boastful prior to that. But your giants could fall tomorrow, whether it's, you know, disease or finances or, you know, political or whatever it is. God could knock down all your giants. He doesn't need to. He just wants you to believe that I come to you in the name of the Lord. Amen? It's powerful. Don't worry, I'm sorry to say this. I am not going away. I'm not. I'm going to keep going until the whole of Dallas is, you know, turned to the Lord. That's funny. Okay. Let's see, where am I? Thus saith the Lord, for I am the Lord that makes all things. So he not only formed Jacob, but he makes all things. That's a pretty big guy. That stretched forth the heaven alone. I did it myself. Spread it abroad the earth by myself. Isn't that amazing? So God is taking credit for everything. There's nothing left over. So he can do whatever he wants. He owns it all. He made it all. And he can dispose of it. And he can enjoy the disposition. So he has full property rights. Ownership, control, and benefit. He gets it all. You can't have more than that kind of title, right, and interest. That, and here's what else he's going to do. That frustrates the tokens of the liars. In other words, all the guys that are part of, you know, Nimrod's Baal thing, they're not going to make it, the pyramid makers. Their pyramid will never be finished. I frustrate the tokens of the liars and maketh diviners mad. So those that are witchcraft type people, they're going to go mad. Isn't that funny? I think it's funny. That turneth wise men, in their own eyes, backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish. That's funny. That is amazing. In other words, God says, I can reduce anybody at any time. I just told you, he's not going to do that. He's after us right now. He's not after them, because we're the light. Wait till the light finishes its light work, and then he'll judge the world. But right now, we haven't been the church that we were supposed to be. Can anybody say amen? Amen. We don't have all the love, joy, peace and kindness, goodness. You know, we're not giving hope to everybody that we meet. You just walk up to somebody without any fear whatsoever and just tell them, you know, Jesus loves you. Can I pray for you right now? I don't care what people, how they react. The point is you have the good news. Any of you don't say anything, you at least ought to have that in your breast. I'm ready at any moment to give hope to somebody, to tell them about the hope that's in me because of Jesus. And I'm always ready. I went to, on Saturday, I was at another minister's thing, and he said at the end of his message, do you have a word? Look straight at me. Do you have a word? And I always do. But the Holy Spirit said, no. Don't add anything to what he said. So I said, no. Of course, he was disappointed because he felt like he had delivered something and was not clear. And he was right. But anyway, and I could have said something, but the Holy Spirit said, no, leave it right there. Now, then I went last night, and a whole bunch of ministers got up and said this and that and so on. And I could have done it. And the Holy Spirit said, no, just keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything. I said, yeah, but Lord, no. They're like, no. Well, don't you understand? No. So, okay. How many know that when you have a God, you don't need to figure stuff out? And all of your first impulses are often wrong, but at least they should be reviewed by the Lord. You know, it's like, what do you think of this idea? Let me smell that. Nah, it smells like you, Jim. No. You put your fingerprint on this? I smelled it. Fee, fo, fi, fum, I smell, you know, God can smell that you're in it, and he doesn't want that. He wants all the glory. So he makes their knowledge foolish that confirms, however, the word of his servant. That's us. That was Israel of old, but Israel today can't do it. We'll have to help him. And performeth the counsel of his messengers that saith to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited, and saith to the cities of Judah, you shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. So he's going to build Jerusalem and Judah. Right now, you're going to see Al-Qaeda and Hamas and all those silly groups. They will try to destroy it. Even yesterday, you could hear it on the radio or television or whatever. You could hear the bombs and all the stuff. They're shooting from Gaza. They're shooting into, you know, Ariel, for example. Okay, no problem. Let them do what they want to do. But Israel already has figured out where all of their locations are, and they're going to destroy them for not only tomorrow and the next day, but for years to come. They'll destroy their whole facility. They're not like us that, you know, just go and do wars, you know, and then do diplomacy or something. They're more like, just wipe them out, and then we'll talk. They're all dead. So they're a little different, but they're smaller. They're a lot smaller than we are. And so that's the way it is. So, and we know that. And so when these bombs come in, it's kind of like, let a few come in, and you're going to lose some people over it, but don't be the first one to react right away. You know, give them a warning. Go and tell them, stop it, stop it. And then when that doesn't happen, then you have a right. So they're waiting for their right. They're looking over at America. Is okay, can we go now? You know. And so they're trigger happy. I've been there on the ground, and I've asked the soldiers, not everybody can just go up and talk to soldiers, but I've asked them, are you guys worried about, you know, having all these neighbors that don't like you? And they said, no. As a matter of fact, we are trained and we are eager to, you know, your country is slowing us down. Your country is putting a check on us. Huh. Well, I'll tell President. So don't worry. God knows what he's doing. Israel's not going to disappear, even if it gets, you know, Tel Aviv and, you know, Haifa and whatever, the major cities wiped out. It's still not going to go down fully. We're told that in the scripture, and scripture doesn't lie. So it can only go so far and then not any further. Will she do that? Yes. She is going to be wiped out in certain places. And Ariel is their smart city. It means lion in Hebrew. Ariel, the lion of the Lord. That little city is the smart city. That is like where Americans could go and it's free trade and free everything. They have nothing to do with the land of Israel. They're on their own. Because Ron Nachman, who's the mayor of that city, was the first citizen in Israel. In other words, he was the first one, his family settled there, so he gets special permission. So we have a big arrangement with them from here, right here in Dallas. Big arrangement. With their, in fact, Dallas's sister city is Ariel. So if I were the enemy, I would try to wipe that city out. That would be a way to hurt America. So it doesn't surprise me that they would target that city because it's the smart city, meaning it has more telecommunications and more, they have more stuff, more technology there than any other place in the world. They're an incredible little spot. And they develop all kinds of things right there. So, you know, wipe them out, but it won't work. Thus, here, last two verses, that saith to the deep, this is God again, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. So he's really talking about, you know what he's talking about right there? He's talking about the Euphrates River, the Tigris River. He's talking about Babylon. Did you know Babylon was seated in between those two rivers? Mesopotamia. Okay? So, between the rivers. Okay? So, it's in between, Meso. The two rivers, right there. Well, what Cyrus did I read that part right there? Thus saith of Cyrus, I God am saying of Cyrus, because he's my shepherd, he's my tool, he's my trustee. I'm going to use him, a worldly guy, but I will use him to perform all my pleasure. In other words, God uses the presidents of this world, the kings of this world, the big shots of this world, for his own pleasure. Do you see what I just said? So it's easy to be a Christian and not, you don't have to know anything. All you have to know is that God knows everything and he's got it all arranged, rigged, for you to win. Just do what he says. But make sure you hear what he says, not what you want. He's not going to back up your program, but he'll back up his own. So you join in with where he is. You line yourself up, shalom yourself with the cornerstone, boom. You will prevail. Because your job is not to kill the bad guys. Your job is to forgive them and love them and die for them. Isn't that exciting? Aren't you excited? Isn't that exciting? He's not talking about physical death. He's talking about psychological, stop doing your own thing. He's talking about your mind, your will, your emotions being submitted to him. Think what he thinks. What's he think? Oh, things that are right, that are true, that are just, that are right, excellent, perfect, and so on. Think of good things. Why? Because that's what should be in your mind all the time. God is not after bad people to get them. He's after blessing and forgiving everybody. And he wants to use us, his people, to prove that. Because if anybody's received mercy, it's us. So we should be merciful to others as God has been merciful to us. I mean, I know that we have a lot to give. And I'm not talking about aid. I'm not talking about that kind of give. That kind of give doesn't work. I'm talking about truly giving of ourselves, which is, first of all, to give the Lord. That's the best treasure we have. And know the truth, that'll set you free. Do it in love. And so governments can't do that. Only you and I can do that. Private people, I can do more for a nation than our government. I'm sorry to say that to you. But I remember when I went to Mozambique, a communist nation, and I was going to meet the president, Samora Machel. He's dead now. But I remember when I went there, I went to my own embassy because I was the only kind of like free guy there. Everybody else was Libyan and Russian and, you know, so on and so forth. And there were no Westerners there, only socialists, communists, and so on. And so it was fun. I mean, it was fun for me. But I was a little bit scared, so I said, God, am I your ambassador? Because I'm not an American ambassador. Am I your ambassador? Yes. Oh, good. Okay. So can keep me alive? Yes. Don't worry about that. Okay, good. So I'm going to go visit, and I told Peter John DeVos, who was the ambassador, I'm coming to visit you because I want your full protection, you know, while I'm there, because I'm kind of isolated and alone, and that's obvious who I am, you know, because I'm not African. And so he said, yeah, that's no problem. So when I got into the embassy, I looked around. It was real nice. And I said, you have a beautiful embassy here. He said, it's not mine. It's yours. I went, wow, that's incredible. That's when Ronald Reagan was president at that time, and he had appointed Peter John. And so we were friends from that moment on. It's like, wow, this is mine. I like my place. This is good. I understood that in a second. This is yours, the American people. And so you're one of the people. That's good enough. Well, you're one of God's people, and therefore you can go anywhere. Even where it says nobody allowed, you're allowed. Do you understand that? You cannot keep me out of any country or of any place or of any club or anything. You're not going to do it. So God has a way to break down all barriers. The only thing is, what has Jesus told me to do? Not what do I want to do, but what has he told me to do? So this Cyrus, you know what he did? Cyrus decided the only way you can beat the Babylonians, because it's 200 foot thick walls. That's thick. That's a lot of rubble. I'm tall. They're 8 chariots wide, okay? So maybe like this room, 8 chariots wide. So it goes 15 miles, 15 miles, 15 miles, 15 miles, 60 miles around. Takes several days to walk through that city because you're walking. They don't have buses and bicycles. So how can you take that city, because it's moats and, you know, there's just no way you can do it because they close up everything at night and so on. But what he did, Cyrus, the Persian, he was actually a Mede, Cyrus the Mede, but it's the Medo-Persian Empire. He decided to build his empire by rebelling against Babylon and putting the Persians in charge. Iran, that's Iran today. So Iran conquered Iraq, okay, by drying up the river. He just simply got up there and diverted the river, and that was the end of that. And then he could walk in on dry ground and take over the city, and he did in one night. That was the night that Daniel said, you know, many, you know, in other words, you've been found wanting. You've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. And all of a sudden he said, tonight, because you've mocked Israel, so watch what you do to Israel, because you've mocked Israel, you will see tonight you lose the whole kingdom. So that night, it's exactly what happened. So God said, that's my servant. I appointed him to do that dry up river thing. So everything is rigged by God. Don't you love being in a world where everything's rigged for you? That's my boy. That's my boy Jim. Hey, get back. That's my boy Jim. Come on, boy, that a boy. You know, and God is just shepherding me through. And I'm just kind of like a dummy. I mean, I don't know anything. But just say what Daddy says. You know, and I don't know anything. And you don't have to. Isn't that neat, Pam? That is neat. And that's what we do to little kids. It's okay, Johnny. Get back right there. And God used all his power to protect me. Woo! I am stupid. I mean, how do you fall off a roof on your head without hands and survive on cement? You know, it's hard. But, you know, I believe God is for me. Now I really, 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 really believe that. Because I should be dead or blind or brain damaged or something. Maybe I'm brain damaged. But at any rate, I'm happy about it. All right. So that's the end of it. Thy foundation shall be laid. So God is laying a foundation here in Dallas to bless the whole world. How many know that Dallas can bless the whole world? We're the only state in the union with $8 or $9 billion, you know, in the rainy day fund. We're the only one that really has the capacity to do what we want to do. And we've got oil galore, we've got gas, coal, we've got everything you need to supply the whole United States. I don't know if you know that, for hundreds and hundreds of years. That's amazing. So you think that Obamacare or something else is going to stop us? No way. Whatever it's going to take, we're going to do whatever it's going to take, because there's a pressure from the fact that, look, we're recipients. This is all our stuff. We're not just going to send money to Washington and have them send back a little trickle, fooling on them. So whatever it takes, we're going to do it. So that's why there's a lot of talk today about, you know, these are just man-made ideas. But like, hey, let's not let that happen. Forget the mechanisms and the methods they're choosing. Just, it's not going to happen. I can just tell you right now, history is full of examples that when you have something like that, you don't willingly give it over and say, I have a gun in my hand and you're now destroying my family, but I'm not going to use it because I'm a good person. No, just use it. Boom. Oh, thank you, Jesus. After I shoot him, I'm going to pray for him. God bless his soul, the departed soul. You're not thinking that's funny, but I do. I think, you know, if God has given you something, it's a gift. Take it. God gave it to you, not the government. The government doesn't give you anything. The government is not a benefactor. But today, your government calls itself a benefactor. Jesus said that in the Bible. He said, the rulers of this world call themselves benefactors, good doers. No, they're not. They're only defenders of our rights that God gave to us. God is our only benefactor. Thank God. Don't thank the government or, you know, the communists or somebody. No, thank God. Why? Because God's the one that controls everything. He owns it all. He controls it all. And he benefits by all of it. But you know what he does? Gives you the fruit. He can do that if he wants. He can own it and then let you control it. Or he can let you partially control it as a trustee. He can do anything he wants with what he owns. He has what they call perfect title. And so because it's perfect and there's no cloud and he owes nobody anything. You see? All the land is his. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. All the land belongs to God, not you. You're just a steward on his property. You're just one of his tenants. But he happens to take care of you, and so he calls you free man. So that means you're free against all the world. So, okay, communists hate that. That's why that's their number one thing is get rid of all private property. No property, no liberty. If you don't have property, you're a slave. You don't have liberty. That's what a slave is. A slave is a person without property. But we do have property. We have property in our conscience. We have property in our body. We have property in everything. We have a right to use and a right to own. So we can either use or own or both. We can do anything we want. Why? Just check with God, see what the order is. So God has given us all these things because he's a benefactor God, kind, and that's why we're the foundation right here in Dallas for what's going to happen to the rest of the United States. Did you know that there's, I mean, like over 36 states that are going broke? They're broke. They don't have anything. I don't care what the election said. That was just a bunch of wards of, you know, the state that voted for their own freebies. Okay, no problem. I'm not ticked off at that. I'm just simply saying that is not the hardworking, you know, person that's contributing to our welfare and benefits. So you can come up with, I tell you this, soak the rich. It's not going to happen. The rich will find a clever little way. They got a billion of them. You can take away all the loopholes. They'll still find another way. Why? Because even the Democrats have those kind of people too. That's why. But there's no way you can stop it. I mean, I can think of dozens and dozens of ways to protect assets. And that's what you do. When you have something, you want to protect it. And that's nature. Now, let's say they remove nature. Okay, if they remove nature, that would be called the restrainer has been taken out of the way so that the Antichrist can rule. He cannot rule until nature is gone. I know you didn't understand what I just said, but you don't actually know. But the natural order, the natural law, is the only thing preventing the Antichrist from ruling. Not Jesus. Not Jesus. The natural law, the left hand of God, is restraining right now. Once that's removed, and it's going to be removed, once that's removed, then the Antichrist can reign. Then the right hand will take over because the left hand failed to be able to stop witchcraft, the Antichrist, bad things. And because they took hope from the earth, God will put it back. So that's why we're here during that time. Why? Because we're the hope people. We're the happy people. We're the complete blessed people. And that's what God is doing, is ranging the whole world so that we shine like bright lights in these last days. Are you not excited? I am. I mean, you know, I know it sounds too good to be true, but it is true. That's the way it is. But unfortunately, you have to test it out in your own life. You know, I'm doing it. I don't care what anyone else does. I will not be affected or infected by anything you don't do or do. But I'm just telling you, for me, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Why? It's too good. It's too wonderful. And I believe the best is yet to come. And I don't believe there's ever a day when I will give griping and complaining. I believe I will praise God during the worst of times. And now we have a little example here. You know, yay! Everything you feared hath come upon you, Job. So this is exciting. You know, isn't this a good time to stop listening to your friends? What do they know? What do the pundits know? Nothing. We know everything. Why? Because we know Jesus. And He knows everything. We don't know anything, but Jesus knows everything. And he is more eager to talk to you than you are to hear from Him. He is more eager to reveal something to you. My sheep hear My voice. But you don't have to like, huh? You don't have to worry about, you know, tuning in to where He is. He's more eager to talk to you. In other words, He has all the power and He has all the will and so on. He will talk to you because He loves you. I'm not going to let you go, well, she didn't hear. That's not God. That's not God. That's not God. I wouldn't do that to my kids. Do you hear what I said? You know, if they didn't hear, I'm going to put the weight on me. Let me explain it again before I spank you. I just want you to know what I said. So, do y'all see that? So it's good. Margaret never got spankings, but the others did because Margaret learned from the other kids. So praise God. Amen. Right? Right, Mug? I mean, she and I made contracts together. She is awesome. She should be a lawyer. She should not be a teacher. She should be a lawyer. Because she said, Dad, don't worry. The other kids made lots of mistakes. That's true. I won't. Can we write that down? Yes. And here will be the consequence. So that's good. And she's good. She's awesome. She's just like me. Speeds, does all kinds of things. Okay. No, but she loves Jesus. Isn't it powerful? How many know you're going to win? How many know you can't fail? How many know you've already won? Because Jesus is your life. He is your security. He is everything. You could lose everything down here and you still have everything. You have nothing down here that you need. He's got everything up there. It's like He said to Israel one time, leave your stuff. Tell Jacob, leave your stuff there. Come on down here. Egypt has plenty. Well, that's us. We have it all. Do you all understand that? We have the faith. We have the, you know, the bullhorns on our Cadillacs. We have everything you're going to want. Because we're having fun down here. And we don't have those big winners that they have up north. That's getting those Yankees. They'll be sorry that they thought the New England thing was pretty. It is. It is pretty. But I'd rather be down here with Jesus people. Oh, glory. We don't ever get storms here, do we? Well, just little ones. Just kind of a little warning. The best has been saved till the last. All God is wanting is for you to relax. Don't do anything. Just relax. Rejoice. The only three things you should do, thank you, praise you, I love you. That's it. None of those are works. Those are response to the fact that He did all the works. People hate this teaching. I'm telling you, they hate it. Because they want to do something and have a little control, a little bit of pride, a little reward in heaven. You're not going to get it. So I'm just telling you, this will set you free. It's hard to believe this because you have all those things in the New Testament say, work out your own salvation, you know, love one another, all kinds of commands. I don't pay any attention to any of those. That's who I am. That's not what I need to do. That's what God will do for me, in me, through me. I give God all the glory. I don't do those things. He just tells me who I am. Jim, you're a king. Well, I didn't know that. So it's just a matter of reckoning. How many know Texans know how to reckon? Well, I reckon, you know, I'm one of God's beloved. Okay, that's good reckoning. So I reckon I'm dead unto sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. That's what I reckon. So am I afraid? No. Why? As Jesus, did you know that perfect love casts out all fear? I'm not afraid because he loves me perfectly. How much do I love him? I don't know. I'm not so interested in figuring that out. I'm not going to take my eyes off of Jesus' love to figure out how much love I'm giving back. I'm just going to love him for loving me. I don't know how much I love him. I know my heart is good, but I don't care about the rest. Everybody else does. They're trying to earn points or get merits or something. I don't want any merits and points. I got Jesus. I got everything. Did you know that with Jesus, he freely gives you all things? In fact, the only thing you're going to get in heaven is God. Well, what more do you want? Why do you want God plus a mansion plus, you know, a nice dress plus a doghouse? Why do you want anything more? I just want Jesus and I'll get everything. Why? Because he'll give me everything for free. Seek first the kingdom of God, I'll give you everything else. So, are you all blessed today?
Yes.
Don't wait to see it. Say it today. Don't wait to see it. Say it today. I am incredibly happy.